Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on in the hour, Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine, Storm Large from Storm in the Balls will be joining us as well. Like, it's 3, Dynamite at 7. Don't forget, tomorrow on the Rick Emerson Show, Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio will be here. Clyde Lewis, I think, will be in as well to talk about that day called, I think it's this weekend it premieres.
It might be. I think so.
Yeah. Clyde will be in to whore that relentlessly tomorrow. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, he is your president, your prophet, your seer, and your revelator.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
The last day of work for 800 Freightliner workers. This is the end of an era in Portland manufacturing their plant over in Swan Island. Well, it's going to close. Well, not actually close. They're not going to make Freightliner trucks there anymore because they're going to send them to Mexico. You can thank NAFTA for that. At one time in 1999, that plant employed 300 people, but they're still going to be making a truck called the Western Star Line, but they're only going to need 900 for that.
Freightliner?
I barely knew her.
That's that. Well, a new study says you ladies' self-esteem may take a beating every time you open up a magazine. Researchers found body dissatisfaction isn't confined to overweight women. Dr. Yvonne Braver didn't participate in the study, and she's not really a doctor yet. She's an internist at the Cleveland Clinic.
I just deleted that sounder because...
This study shows it's not just the scale, it's the whole gestalt. It's everything that goes into unachievable images.
I'm sorry, she's where? At the Cleveland Clinic?
Fantastic.
Yes, Dr. Braver often says she hears women in all different shapes and sizes saying horrible things about their body.
We have to educate people that the images that you see in a magazine are contrived images. They're not real. They're not the perfection. It's an instantaneous perfection with lighting and magic, but it's not...
And magic.
How human beings.
And goblins and wizards.
That sounded like Michael Jackson's creepy laugh after, like, they were
and stardust.
They were delicious.
I don't have that either. I have none of my sounders here.
What happened to them all?
I don't know.
How can we do a radio program?
I'm unclear. I had them here. I don't know where they went. How can I do a radio program without my Michael Jackson sounds? Hold on. Do I have
them? You found them the other day.
I did, and then I lost them again. Wait, hold on. No, they're gone. No, wait.
Come on.
Hold on a second. It seems crazy. It's going to be so far past the point.
Well, we're getting close to giving up.
We're getting close to just...
Let's give her one more chance.
And then we'll just give up. Do we have the...
Hey, come on.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, Ricketts.
I just don't. I can't.
I thought you were trying to find it still.
I don't know where my... I don't know where my Jackson sounders went. Let's see. Are they in the front? Oh, wait, here we go. I don't even remember. Why were we playing these now?
We're talking about the Cleveland Clinic. And women's body images.
You can't throw me off like
you
this.
You have to educate people that the images that you see in a magazine are contrived images. They're not real. They're not the perfection. It's an instantaneous perfection with lighting and magic, but it's not how human beings really are.
He put the little round object in his mouth.
It was delicious.
That's so creepy.
Balls up into the air and floated them there above everybody's head.
Okay. Here's Tim Riley.
The political arm of NOW, the National Organization for Women, will endorse Senator Hillary Clinton's presidential bid. Clinton will join the now president, Kim Gandy, to accept the endorsement.
Gandy?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Everything calls for a response today. I'm sorry, Tim. Go ahead.
I'm waiting for the response.
No, I already did it. With the...
Oh.
I'm sorry. Let's start again.
I'm not going to read that story again.
The news department is disgusted and has decided to move on. Then the National Organization for, I mean, God love them, doesn't that seem like a thing that's from 1978?
Bella Abzug? Somebody with knitting needles hanging out of their hat?
Bella Abzug! That's fantastic! It doesn't even seem like an organization that has any... I'm not
saying they don't shave their armpits.
They wear pantsuits. Every one of them. Just a lot of straight hair and John Lennon glasses in that organization. Just a lot of macrame purses and body odor. Oh, good God almighty. All right, well, there you go. And Betty and everybody who founded that organization either quit or is dead. Betty for Dan's been dead for like 1,000 years. So, all right, well, whatever. Rick. I'm not going to read any of these. These are all
there.
These are
thanks for writing.
Rick Emerson, Listener Party 10, Flabby Skin and Liquor. How about this one? Rick Emerson, Listener Party 10. Let's see. Rick Emerson, Listener Party 10, Mission Accomplished. Rick's a huge Mission Accomplished banner. Rick Emerson, Listener Party 10, just a big bloody mess. No. No, but thanks. Nor am I going to call it the Rape of Nanking. Here's Tim Riley.
An airline pilot ordered a 16-year-old student from Hawaii off an East Coast flight after a coughing fit. Rachel Collier was on a spring break. The girl's classmates returned home to Honolulu, but she was still on the East Coast. Collier was having a great spring break at a school trip to New York and Washington. It was the first time she left her parents. Well, the fun turned into fear when she kicked off a Continental Airlines flight heading for home. The police were called. The ambulance, the paramedics were called. She had fallen asleep in her plane and woken up coughing and a whole bunch of people standing around her and was asked to leave the plane. Upon boarding the plane, she was asked to leave because she had a bit of a coughing spell, said a spokesperson. This young lady and her teacher were left to find their own hotel for the night. And they had to buy clothes and toothbrushes, too, because their luggage was already on the plane.
Grab me a river. Everybody in this room has been on a plane next to somebody like that. Sneezing fit, coughing fit, goddamn crying baby that won't shut its hole.
Yep.
Everybody on Earth has been next to that person. And, of course, when you're on a plane, it not only is it the loud hack, and it's always the really wet, like hacking mucus kind of sound. It sounds like the bottom of a swamp coming up out of their lungs. And then you're just sitting there thinking about all of the germs and microbes and whatnot that you're inhaling. All floating around in the air. So, all right. Well, in any event, I've told this story before, but I had a roommate, and let's not. Well, yeah, Chris is saying it's how she got sick in Pennsylvania. Of course, you're flying in an airplane. Just a tube filled with a finite amount of oxygen that everybody's sharing. Sarah is moving out of the apartment where she now lives, and you're going to be living by yourself, right? Your new place?
Me and Muppet.
You're going to be ditching your roommates?
I'm not going to have any roommates. I'm going to. Oh.
It's no slight on your current roommates.
That was too smooth.
No, I'm saying your current roommates are fine.
They're
decent
fine.
People, not at all creepy.
I just don't think I'm meant to live with other people.
No, you're not.
Especially if I'm confined to a 10 by 10 box.
Lights out at 10. Any man not in his bed at 10 gets a night in the box. Roommates, it's like even the smallest noises, even the smallest, tiniest personal habits, things that you don't notice right away when you live with somebody, they just become, over time, things that really will drive you toward a serial killing and a hiding in the crawl space. Mm-hmm. Speaking of coughing, I used to have, when I lived in Spokane, I rented a room in this woman's house. And my bedroom shared a wall with the bathroom, and it was the bathroom that everybody used. It was me, a guy downstairs, and her, and it was her house. And my bedroom shared a wall with the bathroom, and she was, just out of shape, and just flabby, and just bad, and just didn't take care of herself, and then was a chain smoker. And because she was a chain smoker, there was this routine that happened every morning around 4:30 a.m. where she would get up and she would go into the bathroom and she would begin then the long series of morning deep chest bronchi rattling coughs that every smoker knows. Just that old... and would actually cough to the point, I think, where she would sort of become sick. And it's like, and I'm sitting in the bedroom just wondering how much noise it would make if I were just to go in and, like, saw off her head. You know what I mean? And just kick it down the hill into a landfill. So.
I know, mine's just like, we have different lifestyles, and there are some things that I couldn't do that it was okay for the other roommates to do. It was just kind of.
You were one of the favorites.
I wasn't a favorite.
Well, finally, you will be.
All right. It's 503-733-2970.
All Chinese waiters, listen to the Rick Emerson Show.
Let's now, Kristen, can we now, let's bring in out of the Rick Emerson Show our good friends. What's that?
Yes.
I say, starting the sound bite, this intro bed that may or may not be long enough.
You can play some more robot voices.
I don't think I have the
robot voices.
I don't think I was waiting for a isn't that right donkey one, sir. If you, I know he's
Please.
No, he's retired. He's actually he's actually said that it's sucking away too much of his workday, so he's not going to continue.
Oh, he can't leave without you. Just got to give us one isn't that right donkey.
Just give us please a please isn't that right donkey. Wait, hold on. Let's see if we have. Hold on. Let me try this. This really is addictive. All right, let's try this. Give me just 1 second here.
Isn't that right, donkey?
No, it's not true. It's not the voice. The voice is this.
Isn't
wrong.
That right, donkey?
It's the wrong robot voice. Wrong robot voice, as Zoidberg would say. Let me try one more here.
Robot.
Isn't that right, donkey?
Is that a sexy black man robot?
Seriously, that's the smooth B lover man voice.
Please play that again.
I would like to take you in an Arco restroom, baby. This is. Let me try that one more time.
Isn't that right, donkey?
Nah, it's just not.
Donkey.
It's just not the same. 503-733-2970. That's welcome to another Rick Emerson Show from Barfly Magazine, Jen Lane, and from Storm in the Balls, our good friend Storm Large. Hey, hey, hi,
hey,
hi.
Hey, hi, hi, hi. Hello. Hey,
do you guys have any headphones anywhere?
You know, Scotty J left, and he's gone this week.
We kind of fall apart without him in this.
Seriously, as much as we make fun of that guy, he is sort of the mortar between the bricks on this radio program, so we got a whole lot of nothing here.
And aren't we getting, okay. We're getting headphones sometime soon, aren't we?
At the same time, we're getting chairs for the studio. Mm-hmm. That's around the same time. So nice. we're short one chair, we're short like five pairs of headphones. We really have nothing.
That's all right.
This entire program.
Yeah, this microphone's kind of dangling.
It's so
I know. It's not very excited to see you.
Yeah. The microphone
it's
needs.
Just not needs Viagra.
The microphone's tired, baby.
It just needs a place to crash, man.
The microphone needs to get back in the game. This happens to many microphones, though, Jen, and the key is not to worry about it. You've got to relax and let the microphone work when it wants to work. That would be my, all right. So how are y'all doing? Good to see you guys.
Good to see you guys.
All right. I apologize. You guys are sans headphones at the moment, but I got to get a couple of these phone calls before we do anything else, and then we'll talk about, Storm, I know you got a show coming up this weekend.
Yes, indeed. Saturday at the Wonder Ballroom.
And there's all kinds of stuff. And plus, we've got this thing we've been wanting to talk about for a while that is actually, it's this question about MySpace that I wanted to get to, and this is a good day to do it, too, with you guys here and whatnot. It's about old friends. Because our friend Seamus had sent us this email about old friends, or friends from the past anyway, tracking you down on MySpace, people you haven't talked to in like 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this probably happens to you guys, because you're both people of note in some way. You're both the people of, you have a certain kind of high profile.
We're celebrities.
Well, I'm just saying. Yeah, people that, you may not remember me, but I sat behind you in geometry.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm going to be in Portland, and I was wondering if I could, and it's just like, I don't know how to respond to people.
Can I stare at you quietly and awkwardly over dinner?
Well, Sarah got that, too. Sarah got some schmuck that she went to high school with. And it was all of, I haven't talked to you in about 15 years, but I was wondering if I could come through town and have an honest sex with you.
Creepy.
And,
well, he asked for sex?
He didn't. But
he didn't.
He did between the lines, though.
Oh, man.
So the question is, but this guy, Seamus, was like, he's like, for some reason, in the course of about a month, like two different girls that he knew, whatever, like 10 years ago, were like, hey, can I be your pal on MySpace? Can we hang? And it's like, and he, it's sort of like, do you say yes? Do you say no? And the thing is, if you say yes, then the next step is then they're dropping you a message, and it's like, then you got to respond, and then you got to start maintaining these relationships with people that you haven't kept in touch with. And clearly, it's like, it's no knock at anybody, but if you were going to, like, if you wanted to maintain a relationship with somebody or a friendship, you would have just stayed in touch.
Right.
I don't take MySpace seriously. For me, it's not. It's about chilling, and whoring my
friends, Pimpology.
Especially for musicians, I've got 31,000 friends on MySpace. How am I going to keep in touch with everybody other than spending?
Just not trying hard enough.
I know.
Some guy recently came to one of my DJ gigs, and he's like, wow, it's so nice to meet you. Actually, I met you at a party like 7 years ago at Kevin's house in Selwood.
Like,
I'm like, who, where, He's like, yeah, actually, you were just talking about Starting Barfly. It's so cool. He was really nice.
Right.
But then he was like, yeah, I found you on MySpace. You know, I can't believe you list yourself as single and making over $250,000 a year. You must get crazy guys after you all the time.
I have a penis. And I was wondering. That's really what it's all. I mean, that's all. Well, this guy, what did the guy that you went to high school with say? What was it? It was something weird.
I still have it somewhere. Hang on.
I had a girl, random MySpace friend. Who, invited me to this and that via MySpace, which I, politely was not able to go to any of them, declined. And then she sent me a MySpace message saying, well, I could see that we obviously are not, we don't have the same goal in mind of real friendship.
I've done that.
Really?
I hate the attitude. Really, really, really offended. They're, from Illinois, and they're really offended that I didn't call their kid on their birthday. And I've sent you 10 messages. I'm like, I'm really sorry, lady. You know? Come on.
This says, let's see, this is, I just found my ex-boyfriend on MySpace, and, of course, immediately wanted to send him a message and say, hey, long time no see. But then I recall your comments about if you haven't talked to your ex in years, why would they want to hear from you now? This is somebody wondering if they should do it. This is the one person in my life with whom I actually discussed marriage. We met in college, and when I moved to L.A., we hooked up and were together for a few years. He's now a successful blah, 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 has his own business. It's just plain curiosity. See, but here's the thing.
If you might be able to borrow money from him, yes.
This always ends badly.
No. Yeah.
You end up on the Maury Povich show. It started with MySpace.
Well, it depends on what she wants. If she wants to just reach out and say, hey, I saw you on MySpace, just wanted to say hey, and this is what I'm doing these days. I'm sure you're probably pretty busy. Leave it all open.
Yeah, I just happened to see your MySpace page after stalking you for the last 17 days.
But if you do that to a guy, the guy will automatically assume, because men like to think that women think like we do. And if you do that to a guy...
She still wants me?
Totally. It'll be like, come back eventually. That's totally what that is.
Yeah. But then if he doesn't want to, he won't get back in touch with her. And if he wants to, he'll want to get back in touch. Because, the thing is, with a woman, when she does something, a man will think she's just doing that one thing. What she's doing is there's about, 97 levels of subtext under every move.
Women have subtlety.
It's psychosis.
Men just have no facets.
Hormonal psychosis.
I found the creepy email.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, it says, it's snowing. That's the subject. It said, hey, stranger, long time.
Hey, stranger.
I thought about you the other day, and I was like, yep, you snooze, you lose. Then I saw today you were single. This is me not snoozing, smiley face emoticon. How's life?
Oh, God.
3 question marks. You should come play in the snow or maybe the lake in a few months. In a few months? In the lake?
Come play in the snow.
Come play in the lake in a few months. I wish I was still in Bremerton, only because I want to take you out and catch up. Give me a good ring.
In Bremerton.
Gross.
Yeah, sincerely blank. Gross. P.S. If I hadn't just rolled my only vehicle, I would seriously take a trip up there to take you out.
Oh, my God. So he's a drunk.
He sounds like a dreamboat.
Fantastic.
Living in a van down by the river. I'll take
you can't
river.
Meet guys like that in Portland.
And the unfortunate thing is, he is a really good-looking guy. It's just kind of crazy.
And I wash myself with a rag on a stick.
Sarah, don't reply to that.
Oh, no, I never did. That was like...
Did he ask to be a friend?
Oh, we're already friends on there.
Somebody just told me that you can see people can see if you've read their message.
Yeah, well,
big line for a long time. Oh, I never get to check my messages.
Totally. A guy said that to me yesterday. We had this whole thing where there was this whole dispute that erupted yesterday where some guy called up with an angel.
You were lying, by the way, though.
What?
You were lying.
What do you
mean? Read it as a message.
I might have forgotten about it. It's the same thing. You read it and you kind of... It's not like I'm some...
Whatever, Scooter Libby.
It's not like I'm some A-lister, but I get a fair amount of email, and you read it, especially if I read it during the show. If I read anything during the show, at 3:06, it's, gone. My temp file in my head is cleaned out.
Oh, yeah.
People will ask me, hey, what's that thing that happened today at 1 o'clock in the show? And I'm like, I don't know, dude. Whatever. But this guy called up, and he had this great idea for the listener party name. And then this other guy called him. He's like, I sent that to you a week ago. I know you read it. And I'm like, sorry, dude. And then he sent me a screenshot of the email showing that screenshot that I read. No, it's fine. I'm just saying. But yeah, you can't lie and say that you haven't seen something.
Well, here's the thing, though. I know you can't lie, but it's like there's so many people that take that kind of thing so personally.
Yeah.
When they feel like they're reaching out to someone who's kind of a popular public figure, and wow, they got acknowledged by that public figure, and then the public figure inevitably forgets.
I think
in a minute or two.
I think I'm going to create a phantom personal assistant.
Oh, I've done that. I've done, not here, but in the past, when I, and this is true, not here, but in other markets, I did create, like, somebody that I could blame things on.
Did you, like, answer the phone, like, hi, this is Rick Emerson's office?
I actually have someone who does the MySpace for me. I have an amazing girl who handles all of the MySpace for me.
Wow.
Yeah, because I can't, because I have my website, and then someone told, I mean, I'm totally behind the times, so someone told me about rockband.com, that's a really big thing, too.
What is that? I don't even know what that
is. Rockband.com. Do you know what that is, Sarah?
No, is that where all the spoilers were throughout the show?
It was a big rock star thing.
Yeah, I think it might be
on MSN or something.
Yeah,
so someone's like, oh, you got to go to rockstar.com. And everyone's like sitting there waiting for you. And I'm, what? So I go there and, it's all about trying to stay current. But man, it can't keep up.
I had a general manager, and this is back before the days where everybody was owned by a conglomerate, but when the station could be owned by a small company or a family. But I had a general manager who had as I found out, a completely fictitious boss above him.
Ooh.
He had no boss above him. He was the guy, but he had created this like Potemkin superior that didn't really
That's
exist.
Awesome.
And whenever I would ask him for something and he turned me down, like if I would ask for a raise, or for this and that for the budget, if I was, he was like, well, I want to, but Steve, what's his name above me, he said no. And it was like I found out there was no other guy.
That's either genius or he's a complete
just fabricated.
Wuss.
No, because I then stole that idea, and that's what I did later on when I wanted to like lay off an unpopular decision on something. I would totally have this other guy that I created that I would blame for. So anyway, and I got this, I won't say who it is, but I got a weird thing the other day, which where I got one of those, hey, stranger, how have you, and it was, I should say, it was totally non-creepy, totally cool, it really was obviously just a genuine, haven't heard from me in a long time, but it was from this girl that I had the biggest crush on when I was growing up. I mean, just like a full on, and you know those like teenage crushes?
Yes.
When you're like 15, you're like, I'm going to go home and hang myself from the ceiling fan. Yeah. You know, just like it's a whole, like everything is the most dramatic, like scarring, traumatic crush ever. And she probably, of course, bless her heart, probably has no idea like how mental I was for the longest time.
Yeah, she's probably like, hi, Rick. And you're like, hey. In the hall. I'm such an idiot.
At home, listening to Every Rose Has Its Thorn, like over, like hundreds. Listening to Don't Know What You Got Till It's Gone by Cinderella hundreds of times. Writing Air Supply lyrics on my folder, you know, but.
Oh my God.
But she sent me this whole like, hey, what's up? Here's a picture of me and my husband and five kids.
Like, you know, oh, gross.
I was like, no, it was fine. It's just weird, though. It's a weird. That's the thing about MySpace. It's not like it's bad. It's just, it's strange. It just, because I don't think previous generations had to deal with stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, it screws with your head in ways that I think you used to be immune from.
It's kind of like the internet. When the internet started and emailing, and you could kind of anonymously have these relationships with people, but now it's really not that anonymous.
Right.
Like MySpace is a very personal representation of yourself.
Totally.
And so it's kind of like you're at a party and these really uncomfortable strangers know the stuff about you, talking to you and at you, and you can't really get away.
Right, no. All right, well, let me run through
these. This voice thing is horribly addictive.
Oh, you don't want to go to that. It'll be...
Oh, no, Davey has sent me the most awful things. Awesome. The little talking head guy.
The talking robot thing will suck your life away.
Oh, I love it.
I'm going to run through these real quickly, then we'll take a break. We'll come back with Tim Riley, more from Jen Lane, and Storm Large. Hi, Frank. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Rick? Since everybody in the radio industry steals from each other, maybe we could use this for a listener party, Ken. Beef, ham, and drunken hoes.
I'm sorry?
Beef, ham, and drunken hoes.
What is that? What is the significance
of that? From Marconi.
Oh, is that, did he call something that?
Yeah.
Beef, ham?
And drunken hoes.
Okay.
I don't think we're going to have beef or ham.
Beef, no. We will not.
Well, you know.
Write it down. Beef. Was that beef, ham? Like, is that a new kind of ham, or is it?
No. Beef, ham, and drunken hoes.
Drunken hoes.
Barracuda.
All right, drunken hose. Excellent. Thank you, sir.
All right.
All right, there you go. All right, fantastic. Let's see, what else do we have here? Well, let's get a couple of these. Pat, hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hi, Rick.
Hey.
Hey, I've got a real groaner here.
Okay.
For the party 10. Emerson spake and calmed her. Get it?
Emerson what?
You remember the group Emerson, Lake, and Palmer?
Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Okay, and then like spake, you know, as in the
spake, Zarathustra, right? Yeah.
Emerson spake and calmed her. Thank you. I'll be here all week.
That's a terrible suggestion.
That's what?
It's terrible, this idea.
Okay, well, we tried.
Who's in the background, sir?
Those are my nephews.
Did your nephews help you come up with this idea?
did it sound that juvenile?
I would get their input next time, my friend.
Thank you.
Next time, canvass the youth in your house to get their submissions. Thank you, sir. Okay, and we're done. That's Pat. Let's take a break now, shall we? It's 503-733-2978. Come back. Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Storm Large, Jen Lane, Likas at 3, Donna Mike at 7, etc. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere! Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You know, it's an email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up at 3, Tom Likas, Donna Mike at 7 tomorrow. Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio and Clyde Lewis will be here to relentlessly whore his film A Day Called X, which debuts, I believe, this weekend at the Laurelhurst Theater. And we're also here with Storm Large from
Hello.
Storm in the Balls, Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine.
Hello.
It's
sexy Jen Lane.
We'll talk to you both here in just a second.
As
ladies
opposed
and gentlemen.
To nothing different than usual.
Please welcome to a final visit to the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
News breaking now. Fox News reporting that Michael Jackson has been hospitalized in Las Vegas with pneumonia. Is that not so? No, it isn't, says Jackson's rep, Ramon Bain. Just released a statement saying, in response to media inquiries, Mr. Jackson is not currently in the hospital, nor has he been hospitalized with pneumonia. But these people lie all the time.
He's totally dying like a week.
He's completely dead. He's dead and incinerated already.
Yep.
You know, that's the frustrating thing about that guy. When
he
finally dies.
Dogs and cats.
Yeah, they'll install the robotic skeleton and he'll walk around and no one will know the difference.
Did you hear about the Robo Jackson they're building?
Oh my gosh.
What?
People think it sounds like a joke. They are building a 50-foot robotic Michael Jackson that shoots laser beams out of its eyes.
Like South Park?
That will stand, like Mecha Streisand, that will stand outside the city of Las Vegas and greet you. So when you come over the hill, like from that, on that highway in from Utah, suddenly you will broach the horizon.
Who is this proverbial they doing
robo,
this?
You know, people.
Oh. Okay, so where's the joke? Like, you know, like the 8-year-old boy, my hands look so big. There's got to be.
I'm just saying.
Find the joke in
someone,
there.
Someone's got to build a bunch of robotic children cowering with their hands around their ankles with lasers coming out of their butts.
Here's Tim Riley.
A mentally challenged man who was missing overnight is now back in the group home where he belongs. He just won't stop escaping. 18-year-old Jason Malloy has the mental capacity of a 5-year-old.
If your place isn't safeguarded against a 5-year-old escaping, really, if your place can be busted out of by a retarded man.
He might be a 500-pound 5-year-old.
Hello,
with violent streak.
Maybe somebody forgot to lock up the big wheel. You never know. Apparently, a woman called police to say Malloy was in her home, and the woman was an employee of one of the group homes where he used to live. He just stopped by, slipped over, and had a hearty breakfast in the morning. He's back where he belongs now. Flowing hair and a precocious smile have the rewards, especially if you're Sanjay Malekar, who's considered one of the weakest performers in American Idol, but he has a fan base that helped him survive multiple rounds. All the folks in his hometown in Federal Way, Washington, keep calling that phone number, and he keeps staying there. The city is about 84,000 people. It's 20 miles south of Seattle. And has taken some hard hits from the public and all three judges on the Fox show. Simon Cole went on to say, if Malekar wins, he'll quit.
Mm-hmm. Right. In the Federal Way...
That's going to inspire a bunch of people.
I feel like you guys have succumbed to American Idol chat.
You know what? I did, too.
I don't really care about the show, but here's why I care about this. And Sarah and I were talking about this. That I don't even have... The great thing is, the great and terrible thing, I don't even have to watch the show.
All right.
And I know all about it.
Exactly. I
like through osmosis.
Yeah, I've watched it 3 times, and I already am intricately involved. And also, the stylists from Rockstar are stylists on American Idol, so I get actual backstage feedback.
I like this whole thing with this Sanjaya guy, and I'll tell you why. Because I like anything that just screws with the system. I like anything that just causes entropy and discord and chaos, and anybody who just Fs with the program. And when I say program, I mean just in the larger sense. Anybody who sort of jams the culture, I'm a big fan of that. So that's fine. Because this is probably the only time it'll ever happen. The thing is, after this season, they'll do something to safeguard it so it can't happen again. These things can always happen once. It's when somebody spots a flaw in the system or a flaw in the procedure or the process, and then the next time around they always fix it so it can't be done again. It's like a Microsoft flaw. Right. So yeah. This won't happen again. But for this season, I like the fact that this guy, he's not the worst singer in the world, but he's certainly not good.
No.
By any stretch of the imagination, he's kind of freaky.
He's kind of like a retarded Mowgli. You know what I mean?
Too?
He seems really special. Yeah, like yeah. Some, like he was pulled out with barbecue tongs of his mouth. He got forceps pretty hard.
He's just really, he's like one of these gentle spirits. And yeah, and I like the hula. And
he's really kind of very feminine. But he looks just like Mowgli.
Chicks dig him, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Chicks dig him, and he's got really like high. He looks like a really young,
feminine. Do chicks dig
feminine...
him or little girls dig him?
Well, I mean, the girls who vote on this, the chicks who vote for American Idol.
Who are like 10 years old.
Yeah. He looks like a really cute, really young Chris Cornell, in my opinion, from Soundgarden.
Oh, no.
I think, in my opinion.
Chris Cornell, even when he was young, looked like he'd choke you on the first date, and I like that. Sanjaya looks like he'd cry if he held your hand.
I think he looks like a much more feminine Chris Cornell. I could see that. He doesn't look as aggressive, clearly.
Oh.
Like Chris Cornell's sissy younger brother, perhaps. That's kind of what he looks like to me. I don't know. The chicks seem to dig him, though.
No, you keep saying the chicks seem to
dig
him.
That's who's voting, but it's not guys voting for
him. No, they do. It isn't guys voting for him.
Do they find him attractive, or is it like a sympathy vote? Like, they think he's adorable?
No.
I don't think girls are...
I think now it's snowballing, because a lot of girls voted for him because they thought he was, oh, he's cute, and, oh, Simon, he's so mean to him. Oh,
that,
no, no.
That might be part of it.
And now it's snowballing, because, well, it's a little combination of both. I think also everyone's like, I can't believe this guy's still on the show. And there's a bunch of drunk people going, keep Zendaya.
Oh, totally. You know, Don and Mike are all over that.
Oh,
they're all
gosh.
Over that website, the
right.
voteforthewurst.com, which
oh,
is
yeah.
that's all about just like some guy, and it's a guy in Seattle who's just like, let's see how long we can keep the word.
Right.
And the thing is, see, why do I even know this? I don't even know CPR.
It's okay.
The fact that, and he's in the top.
Don't remember that.
The fact that he's in the top 10 now means he's going on tour. That's the great thing about it.
Oh my God.
The top 10 all go on the tour. So if you go to see the American Idol tour, this is the other great thing that appeals to me. Again, I don't really care about American Idol because, again, I'm not trying to be elitist about it. It's just, I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to waste my time watching people karaoke on my tiny TV screen. So, whatever. But, I got crap that I watch that's pointless. But my thing is, I love the idea of some people paying $49.99 or whatever for an American Idol ticket, and they are paying to have to watch that guy sing on stage in front of 20,000 people. That's so satisfying
to
me.
Well, yeah, I was introduced. Well, I mean, I've obviously known about the show forever, but I was at Paul Merkovich from the house band leader, who is who's producing my record. And he has two little girls, and of course, the rule is we gotta watch American Idol. So, I watched it probably three times at their house, and I have to say, across the board, the worst singing I've heard. Like, my show wasn't as popular, nearly as popular as American Idol, and maybe I'm biased, but the singers on my show, I mean, everyone didn't like Phil Joya, but she could sing. Yeah.
Well, and you guys had there was a little bit of, you guys had showmanship, and not only original material, first of all,
yeah.
but it was also showmanship, and there was a little bit, a little bit more of an edge to it, and it was about a little bit of flamboyance, and this just sort of seems to be, it's just so loungy. And just,
really lame.
It's like middle of the road. And just,
what is this about? You've just been eliminated in front of millions of your dreams. Yeah, your dreams have been shattered. Why don't you go ahead and sing again? For the people, first of all, that don't want to hear you sing again, and now you're crying and all, but sing anyway.
Oh, that's why, though. That's totally why. Because they want to see the whole, they want to see the person
it's
on
horrible.
TV. You got to know when to hold them.
Yeah.
They want to see somebody break and
Did
just
they break down?
Dissolve into
yeah,
a puddle.
Yeah, I saw two people crying. Like, there was a girl who couldn't really sing anyway, and they made her sing some really hard song, and she was like, she forgot the words, and couldn't sing. And so she called over all the other contestants over to sing it with her and hold hands and be like hands across American Idol stage. It was so bad.
Oh, good.
So bad.
Let's get the all right, Christian. I'll take these last two, and then we'll call. And then we got to announce. We'll take these last two. We'll talk to. We're here with Storm Large and Jen Lane. We'll take a break. We'll blah blah blah. We'll wrap it up before the end of the show today. We will couple things. We'll talk about. You got a show coming up this weekend.
Yes, indeedy.
Wonder Ballroom.
All ages. Wonder Ballroom. Day after tomorrow, Saturday the 31st. It's going to be our last show until June in Portland.
And tickets at stormlarge.com.
Ticket web, I believe.
Ticket web.
Tickets web. I think.
Tickets web. A thing.
I'm not sure. It's an online one. It's on the internet.
So let's take these calls. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more to Storm and Jen Lane. And then we will, before the end of the program, we will announce our name for Listener Party 10, which is coming up three short weeks from today. Doug, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hey. Doug.
Oh, yeah, this is Doug.
Yeah, hi there. Hi, guys. Am I keeping you from something?
How about Listener Party 10, a complete hysterectomy? The history's in there somewhere.
Is that all one long title?
Well, no, you could make the T-shirt like History Party 10, a complete hysterectomy.
Of the world.
Then in parentheses, say the history's in there somewhere.
And are you saying hysterectomy or hysterectomy?
Well, you can spell it any way you want.
That's really gross.
You don't really...
Did I gross out Sarah?
So you're just sort of giving me the raw clay, and I'm supposed to fashion the title out of it somehow.
Oh, yeah. Got a good idea going.
Uh-huh. All right. Thanks, Doug.
Thank you.
He should really quit his job and go into comedy.
During copywriting. Seriously. Let's see. There's a spot at the Chuckle Hut waiting for you, my friend. John. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, guys. Best show ever.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm not sure if it's been done yet, and I'm just wondering maybe if I could actually ponder my suggestion first.
I love the humility.
Are people now actually asking to ponder
Everyone
things?
Everyone loves the popcorn music.
I love doesn't? The bubble music.
All right. Okay, hold on a second, sir. I thought that was him for a second. All right, I'll let you ponder. Hold on a second, sir.
Oh, my gosh.
Be right back.
It's got to be better than Carpe Diaz.
All right, John. Have you pondered?
Yes, I have.
You still want to go forward with it, or do you want to back out now?
Yes, please. Thank you. It was delicious.
Really? Even after pondering, that's what you came up with?
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. No.
I was hoping it would sound better to you guys.
It was delicious. It's okay, except it's not technically accurate, because who can say in advance? You can't technically say in advance of the listener party that it was, in fact, delicious. Because
yeah, you're
that
right.
Fact will not be known until the listener party is already done. It would be grammatically inaccurate, sir.
Well, how could you say that? You know it's going to be.
Well, one would like to anticipate that, but one can't say that definitively. The empirical evidence won't be known.
It's true.
Right. Well, I'm sorry, but you did get to hear the pondering music.
Yes, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Right. Best show ever.
Thank you, sir. All right, there you go.
I can't believe you're still talking about this party when I'm not going to be there.
I know, because you're going to be in New York, right?
Yeah.
You're gonna, now I'm telling you.
Yeah, I love the East Coast satellite link.
I'm telling you, we have a CNN affiliate there, the CNN office. We could have you go in there. We could have you beam to
CNN's
us.
CNN's going to want me to go into their studio.
Awesome.
But, you know, they do what we tell them to do.
So I tune in a couple times today when people are calling in.
I want to be there far having fun. Mm-hmm. Not in...
I'm just saying.
But did you hear a couple times today that they were talking about naming the party after something to do with placentas?
Now, were you not... Do you remember that? You were at the one at Savalas last year. You performed there with the guy
who
was there
with
the placenta.
Guy who had his
were you
placenta?
Not there
I
during...
I had to leave because I was on my way to L.A. to do the show. You were like the last appearance I did before I went to that final
audition. That's right. That's right, because you actually sort of mentioned it...
Yeah.
But you hadn't publicly announced it yet.
Yeah.
That's right. I remember that.
I went and did the Lita Ford.
But
what's it? And so you had to eat a placenta?
No.
Oh, God. No, they do it. People do it. I'm not making that up.
Oh,
people
no.
Remember Tom Cruise ate absolutely hideously disgusting.
That's how the whole thing came up, actually, because there's a story where Tom Cruise had floated the idea that he was going to eat the placenta. This guy called up. This guy, Jesse, called up, and he's like, you know, we got my daughter's placenta in the freezer. I can bring it. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah, bring placenta.
Ha
ha. Go to the party in a biohazard bag.
Oh, my God.
In freaking biohazard bags. It was like holding aloft a bunch of really soggy liver.
Okay.
And then at one point, the bag started to leak.
No, it didn't.
Sarah?
Oh my god!
It was in a biohazard bag. I picked it up. It was dripping.
Okay.
It's pretty much the greatest
thing. So anyway,
ever.
Are you gonna,
regretted having us there?
Is there gonna be? I bet. Yeah. People like slipping in placenta juice on the stage. But so is there gonna be like a placenta themed thing going on at this party?
No.
Well, it's more of a like the history. We're gonna have a ton of crap that people can look at, like our funniest stories and. Well,
okay.
Go ahead, Rick.
Where this is sort of the timeline of the show because it's the 10th party. It's almost the 10th anniversary of the show in Portland. Not quite, but almost. But we're doing like a timeline. So we're having people. Because we actually don't have a lot of stuff and memorabilia and whatever on the show. Like, we've made T-shirts for past parties, but I don't think that we have any of those. So listeners have been dropping stuff off, and we're going to have an exhibit, a setup, so you can see the whole history of the show.
Okay.
So,
well, just a quick suggestion. Placentinis.
As like a drink?
For a drink.
All right.
Yeah.
Is this, are we going to go into the, we're going to go into the break. Do you want to tell people what we're going to play here, Storm?
Oh.
We're going to set up this song. We're going to play it.
This is a song of mine that a lot of my fans have been waiting for a long time. Recorded with the house band in Los Angeles, California. Freshly mixed. And you are hearing it for the first time on Rick Emerson, Solid State Radio. This is beautiful.
All right. There you go. This is Storm Lodge. Back after this. Don't go anywhere.
She was always
How long? We got like, what, 2 minutes? Three? Nine?
We have like two.
All right.
One.
That Storm song is so fantastic. I wanted to play that. We're here with Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine. Hello there.
Hello.
So what's coming up in the world of Barfly Magazine,
Jen Lane? Our next big event is our Easter Saturday Easter egg hunt on Saturday, April 7th. You can win $50
for finding the most.
Yes. All adults. And it's like a regular Barfly bus tour, you know, bar crawling all night. But you can win $50 if you find the most eggs along the way.
Fantastic.
People get very competitive, too. It's cute.
Let's see. I have a review here from somebody, a listener who went to the Simpsons screening. A listener. We have a listener. I don't have time to read it either. Let's read it tomorrow. We have a listener who went and saw the secret Simpsons screening. I'll have to read it tomorrow. I hate to do that, but I've
no
time.
The trailer didn't look all that appealing. I love The Simpsons, but it really didn't look that funny.
I agree with you, and I like the fact, though, that the trailer wasn't packed full of jokes.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't want it all to be revealed.
Yeah.
I do know that they brought back most of the writers from the first four seasons for this film, which is when really when the show was, like, hitting all cylinders. So, you know, we'll see. Let's see, Rick, about libertarians. Every libertarian is a bearded fat guy who works in IT, rides one of those giant Honda Goldwing motorcycles, wears a snap-brim fedora, and owns a bunch of replica Japanese swords. You know it to be true. It's totally true.
I'm a libertarian.
Yeah, but see, you're the exception. Most libertarians are just a bunch of, no offense, Aaron, dice-throwing nitwits. It's completely true. Jen Lane, the website is barflymag.com, stormlarge.com is where you find out more about Storm and the Balls. And, of course, we want to thank senior radio correspondents Lisa Goddard and Steve Kastenbaum. Coming up tomorrow, Scott Daly from FilmPeopleRadio.com and Clyde Lewis from GroundZeroMedia.org. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. Our PA is Kristen Bowie, and for Scotty J. In the newsroom, it's Tim Riley. The gatekeepers, Dave Zinn. Join us 3 weeks from tonight for Rick Emerson Listener Party 10, Emerson History X. Until then, don't let the bastards grind you down, and please try to help the retarded. We'll see you tomorrow at 11 a.m. following Stephanie Miller 6 to 8 and Dennis Miller 8 to 11. See you then, kids. Bye.
Rick Emerson needs to ride his bike more. He is getting fatter.
Fatter?
I barely knew her.